Prologue. En coup monumental. Headline in Nice Matin, 21st of July, 1976. It was going to be a hot day. The sun rose at 6:08, and by breakfast time, the town was sweltering. The holidaymakers took their petit déjeuner on shaded balconies. The motorists opened the roofs of their convertibles. The waiters lowered canopies over pavement cafes. The early risers were already on the pebble beach. Slender brown girls took off their bikini tops to reveal slender brown breasts, and locals looked on with unconcealed lust, while the visitors pretended that topless sunbathing was nothing new to them. Along the promenade, a six-lane highway, the traffic roared past, polluting the warm Mediterranean air. It was going to be hot for the holiday makers, and for the motorists, and for the waiters, and it was going to be especially hot for Pierre Bigou. The thermometer would rise past 86 degrees Fahrenheit, but for Monsieur Bigou, it would be much hotter. Bigou was controller-in-chief of the main branch of the Société Générale Bank at 8 Avenue Jean Médecin, in Nice, France. For him, July the 19th, 1976, started out like a normal Monday morning. The high-ceilinged main hall of the bank was cool and hushed as the shirt-sleeved tellers prepared to receive their first customers when the doors opened at 8:30. At 8:28, he checked his watch against the large clock on the wall in the main hall, then went into his office, leaving the door open, and began to read the morning paper. He had been with the bank for many years. He had reached a very senior position, and there was nobody to tell him off for reading the paper during working hours. Van Amp had won the 63rd Tour de France cycle race. The American space lab Viking 1 was on course for Mars. The weather forecast was warm and sunny. Big deal. It was Saint Asaph's Day, but there was no connection between Asaph, a perfectly respectable Catholic saint, and Arsène Lupin, the French Robin Hood, the patron saint of gentlemen thieves. At exactly 8:30, two bank functionaries passed Bigou's door and went down the stairs to the vault. The chore of opening the vault door every morning was rotated among the bank's lesser employees, and this week it was their turn. Each carried a large key stamped FB for Fichier Bosch, France's largest manufacturer of locks and safes. The pair of steel doors at the foot of the stairs slid smoothly into the thick concrete walls. So far, so good. Inside was another steel door, and this one was rather special. 50 years old, 3 feet thick, and weighing 20 tons, it was believed to be immune even to a laser. The directors of the bank had had discussions with their insurance company, Lloyd's of London, about installing a modern alarm system, and the two parties had agreed that the mighty door was so impenetrable that the modern paraphernalia of hidden cameras and trembler alarms and photoelectric sensors would be superfluous. One customer, who rented a safe deposit box in the vault, had complained about the lack of alarms, but the man was a retired policeman who read too many whodunits, and nobody listened. At 8:34, the two men simultaneously inserted their keys. The mechanism, made with old-fashioned craftsmanship, consisted of two sets of interlocking rods. Once the keys were in, the men disengaged the rods by operating three large wheels set on the door. Each wheel was rotated a quarter turn to the right for the horizontal rods, then a quarter turn to the left for the vertical rods. As they went through the elaborate procedure, the men could hear from inside the door the faint sounds of the mechanism unlocking. At 8:35, the door was unlocked, and one of the men gave it the final gentle push which would open it wide.